to the Facebook group, to the Most Glorious Empire, you get live streams. We're going to give you a sample of the bonus segment because we've been teasing that at the end of the episode. And so our Patreon subscribers now get an extra portion of the show, an extra 15 to 20, 30 minutes of whatever we feel like talking about. It's just a continuation of the show. And so we wanted to give you a sample of that. So anybody who is giving $5 a month or more on the Patreon, you get a special RSS, a secret RSS feed that you access in the Patreon. And that then gets you, not only do you get the bonus episode, you get the podcast the night it comes, the night that we're doing it. So what I'm going to do is, after we turn off all the mics and cameras and put it all away, I'm going to take the feed and I'm going to not edit anything. I'm going to convert it to 128 kilobits per second, which is CD quality audio. The regular podcast feed that you get through Feedburner or Fireside that you get through iTunes essentially is 64 or 96, so you get a higher quality. I don't edit it. I don't put commercials in it. You get some of the beginning, some of the end, the intro. You get the bonus segment, and it ends up being around 30 or 40 minutes more of content on the Thursday shows. We don't do a bonus show on Tuesday because, my God, how much more can I do for you people? So that is essentially what the that Patreon feed is. It's higher quality. It's no commercials, and it's immediate. And so please go to patreon.com/weirdlibertarians and join. So we're gonna talk a little bit tonight. We're gonna delve into Google, and I'm distracted because I still feel like I sound weird. Do I sound weird?
It's called puberty, Chris.
Yes, have I hit puberty? I just feel like there's fuzz. I feel fuzz, guys.
I could barely hear you in my headphones, but you sound okay.
Okay, all right. Well,
how do I turn it up?
Yeah, there's like a, you see how I sound crispy?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of racist.
I sound crispy, yeah. Harry.
Up here.
Yeah, it's.
And you're more of an original roast kind of guy.
Yeah, we're actually our friend Darren. He's going to be a sponsor here on the show, and Darren makes coffee.
The best coffee.
We're going to have Darren on with Harry, and I'm telling you, Greg, you're not going to know who is Harry, and you're not going to know who is Darren.
Like, I feel that way, though, about, you know, I couldn't tell Abdul, Harry, you know, it's all the same to me. It's like Asians.
It's height difference.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They are...
The jumper.
Oh, they are two peas in a pod. A
couple of Clayton Bigsby's.
Yep. We're going to maybe do a dark roast for Harry. Mm. Darren has a coffee company. Harry's Dark Smooth Roast.
It is some of the best coffee in Indiana that you can get. It is really, really, really good. And he really knows his stuff about coffee. It'll educate you about coffee, too. So it's really good stuff. But a lot of people is like, well, I drink good coffee. If you think Starbucks is good coffee, then you have not had good coffee. Those are burnt beans.
All right.
I like drinking coffee. And I like it black, no sugar, no cream. If you add sugar or cream to coffee,
you can't taste the coffee.
Right. Can't taste the coffee, and you've added stuff to it. It's not really coffee anymore.
Yeah. It stops being coffee.
Right. It's something else.
It's like soy milk. It's milk or coffee lying about being milk or coffee.
Yeah. Correct. You know, like, it's like when you make espresso. Mm-hmm. And you add stuff to it. It's not espresso anymore. It's cappuccino or latte. It's something else.
Yeah. It's basic white girl express lane.
Yeah. It's so hard to go, like I hate going to Starbucks. It's so hard to go to Starbucks right now because all these people there. Well, I got to get my PSL. I'm like, I'll leave you alone. Just get out of my way. All I want is a bowl.
Your burnt beans.
I just want a bowl of the day, just a grande bowl of the day with two shots of espresso in it, and let me freaking go.
That's my drink of choice.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about because I don't drink coffee. I just drink water. That's really all I drink.
Filtered.
I went to Ramen Con, which is an anime convention in North Indiana. It's one of my favorite conventions I've ever been to.
What is it?
Ramen Con. It It's an anime convention up in northern Indiana. Over,
if,
like,
because if it was going to be about the noodles, I was going to be like, all right, what the fuck, Harry? What the fuck?
It's an anime convention. It's one of my favorite anime conventions. And it was like, well, what convention? I've been to like conventions in Florida. I've been to Otakon. And trust me, I've never had much more fun than I did at RamenCon. One time, the guys who ran the convention, because they get the whole part of the convention hall, and they get, and since it's like a BFE of Indiana, they kind of let them do what they want. So watching the guy who's running the convention go to the store with some extra funds and come back with Nerf guns and say, Nerf fight. What? Nope. Nerf fight. And just start shooting. Everyone's like, this is awesome. It was freaking random.
Now, how many people attend a ramen con in northern Indiana?
You know, there were several con goers.
Several, yeah. Tens and tens of people.
Tens and tens of 50-ish people. But, you know, there's, I think there's like a 200-ish people.
Oh, that's better than that. Yeah, you know, that's not that bad.
Ish. But it's just like I said. But
it's like Pork Fest.
But the reason I bring up the bring up RamenCon is because when I went there, that one year I went there, there was a Starbucks in the hotel.
Right.
And I was the only one at that, you know, like the whole convention that just was drinking regular coffee. So they appreciated that because all I wanted was coffee. So basically, they just wanted me, they gave me free coffee. All I had to do was just stand up there and just give them a break for making all their stupid frappuccinos, whatever, because these kids
You get free coffee all the time at Starbucks.
Right. It's part of their affirmative action program, right, Greg?
You literally get it all the time, do you not?
No, it's only because like when people do the like I'm paying behind me stuff. You know, since my order is so cheap, they're like, I'll get this guy.
Pay it forward.
Yeah. Because,
and
like,
then you don't.
How do you feel? Like
combo breaker. Okay, that's what that's called. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anytime you go to Starbucks and there's always these people who are like, oh, I'm paying for the guy behind me. And they come to you and you're, don't ever pay for the person behind you because you have no idea what they're ordering.
Yeah.
Just yell combo breaker and take your free drink.
Honestly, I'm notoriously cheap. Okay, I'm cheaper than Purse String Potter or
thanks, Kat,
or Jewy Jair as Kat Anagnos of 3846 at Anagnos Lane. I don't buy wedding gifts. I don't.
You are the gift.
I am the gift. My presence at your wedding is enough.
You still need to write a thank you card.
The idea that I would pay for somebody else's food before, it's not that I don't mind being generous. I love being generous and giving. As you all know, I'm generous and thorough.
You just don't want it forced upon you.
I don't want it forced.
Then you rebel.
Right. I don't want my friendship forced.
It shouldn't be expected or forced.
Exactly right. So
I'm charitable as long as it's my idea.
It's exactly right. So I get to be as charitable as I want to be, but I don't want to pay for your $18 worth of Starbucks for your office.
And the more charitable you are and have that expectation, the less charitable I'm going to be is retaliation.
That's exactly right. So let's dive into the topics tonight. Now that we've established that I'm Stingy Spangle.
It's frugality.
Christy points out on the live stream. So for those of you who are just joining us, we're giving you a sample in the Facebook group of the bonus episode. I do buy people wedding gifts. I'm kidding. So please buy me birthday gifts.
This is character Spangle.
Right.
I did get a wedding gift.
The things that I say on Facebook, people take seriously, and I don't know why. Like the amount of people who actually think that Jeremiah Morrill is opening his home to hurricane victims and that I gave his real address away today on Facebook. No, he's not.
But it's really his Stone cell phone number, though.
100%. He asked me to give out his cell phone number, so he really does want you people to text him. So if you would, it sounds like he's a 19-year-old kid who's just hunting for poon. So
a little David Friedman in training, if you will.
Right.
The old poon hound.
The sad thing is that he's expecting cougars to start hitting him up as a 19-year-old. He's like, oh man, my favorite podcast, put up my phone number, all these hot chicks are gonna start texting me. Be like, hey there, what's up? My name's Harry.
How you doing?
Yeah.
He's gonna get Seth. Let me tell you how you're wrong about this.
Yeah.
Any chance you want a road trip to Porkfest, man?
Hey, let me talk to you about praxeology, man.
Hopefully I could get, since he's in Tennessee, we could all go down and visit him in Tennessee, go down the Smoky Mountains. Of course, the only reason I want to do that because I just want to drive on the tail of the dragon.
I think Stone is in Georgia.
You had said Tennessee earlier.
Yeah, you said Tennessee
at the end of the last show. So, and I'm not sure. He may not want us to, you know, give
he's,
his exact
I think
location.
He's in Georgia because he said once he's in Bittner land. So, but I would definitely.
That could be Dixie, the Confederacy in general.
I do love to go to, I love Georgia. I would visit Georgia. I like a good Vidalia onion. So
Savannah's awesome.
Oh, Savannah's a great town.
It really is. Yeah. That's a gem if you've never been there. Yeah. I would, if you've been to, what's it, Charleston, which is awesome as well. Savannah's a little bit less crowded and cheaper to go to.
Stone says he's in Georgia.
Georgia.
Y'all,
oh honey, bless your heart. Sound like his mom. All right, let's dive into the topics.
If you said the N-word, you'd sound like Paula Deen.
What N-word's that?
Gave him jobs.
Nutmeg?
The one that Abdul frequently uses.
Negro. It's what Abdul, man, he's such a trip. He's such a great guest. It's why he's been the number one. He's the most returning guest. So I do love Georgia Peaches, Christy. So he's such a great guest. And he is the that is a true story about me working as a slave boy in his yard. So, Greg, what kind of topics? I've been stalling so you could pull up the topics.
Oh, I've got them.
Oh, you ready? Okay.
No, I've got it. Yeah, I've got them.
This was not the one where we should have sold the bonus episode. They're normally a little tighter.
Yeah, it's a little less free range.
Yeah, a little less. We're kind of slap happy tonight. It's 10 o'clock here, and
yeah,
we're a little slap happy tonight.
And really, like, the Hurricanes dominated so much media coverage, whatever we talk about really will get drowned out regardless.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Google a little bit.
Yeah. Harry, you want to set this up, or do you want me to?
I don't want to, because I hate living in a world where Alex Jones continues to be proven correct.
What?
Nailed it.
All right.
So also, Mike Cernovich posted a Periscope yesterday. Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it.
I know you don't watch videos.
You shamed me into watching it. I appreciate it.
Greg does not watch videos unless you force him to.
It's like taking 2 minutes of my time, and if I don't like it, I hold a grudge.
And Alex Jones, I'm not even going to ruin it for you. It's a must watch. You need to go to Periscope, find Mike Cernovich, and find Alex Jones is exposed as an actor. It is so funny.
It's been on 4chan like consistently now since it happened. Like it, and it gets to 300 replies, and it is amazing. Like people just love it. It hasn't at all affected how they feel about him. They see it as a badge of honor.
I was watching it in the middle of Penn Station yesterday, and at one point, like, yesterday's show on my day job was one of the best shows of all time. Like, the Bob and Tom show had one of the best shows ever. It was so good. I put it in our free podcast feed. Go back and listen to it. It was so good. I belly laughed consistently. Nothing on that show compared to me in Penn Station going, like howling like a maniac in the middle of Penn Station at Alex Jones. I mean, it was such a great concept, but
Alex Jones is, it's so hard when people don't appreciate him, the humor.
Right.
Because they, like, the normie looks at Alex Jones and is scared.
Right.
They say, how is that possible in this country?
Right.
We look at it like he's totally harmless, and from that perspective, rather than first time they've been introduced to it, you just are dying.
Right.
Like, it's incredible. Like the Megyn Kelly things, you know, his Joe Rogan performance to this day is the greatest piece of entertainment you will ever download, listen to, or watch.
Stone is at Applebee's right now waiting on friends without earbuds. He's in the middle of an Applebee's with Facebook Live blaring in the middle of the Applebee's.
He's probably howling like we were at Alex Jones.
I'm starting to think we should be scared of the Stone kid. He likes us too much.
No, not at all. I mean, it's awesome that someone would have the passion for We Are Libertarians to that extent, because you know, usually people only watch us in Chili's. Right. Yeah, Small Business Magazine said it's the
number one podcast in Chili's. It's really great to get that distribution deal where we're broadcast over the Chili's radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's great to finally make our way to Applebee's. And
Wall imperialism.
Listen, Ruby Tuesdays, you're next.
That's right.
All right, so thank you so much for joining us here on this bonus episode. This is not the end. We're just transitioning back to Alex Jones being right. And what is Google doing, Harry?
Just do it, Greg. Just do it.
Okay.
Just do it.
Well, I'll just set it up. And I don't want to go full, you know, since it's a bonus episode, I don't want to fully, you know, no, autistic full,
right.
Screech. But a guy from, an individual from Medium, on the platform Medium, the blogging platform, he wrote an article about How, let me see, get the title correct. It's How the CIA Made Google Inside the Secret Network Behind Mass Surveillance, Endless War, and Skynet. Author's name is Nafiz Ahmed. And it's pretty cool. The piece was actually instigated by a citizen journalist, like a not-for-profit, decentralized citizen journalist, investigative journalist group that's trying to build their profile. And so what ended up being exposed and what they connected the dots to was something that we've talked about for a long time, is that how the CIA has a venture capital firm called InQtel that has long avoided any type of oversight whatsoever. Right. They were the first client for Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle, that created Oracle database systems, and that is, you know, they were the primary financing and builder that turned him into like the world's sixth richest man.
Right.
And so they've been funding seed companies for years. They give them, if it's something where they consider a strategic interest based on people from the military industrial complex, like Booz Allen Contractors, that type, as well as the Defense Department and all the things that fall underneath them, like NSA and what's all those types of organizations. What they discovered was just how prevalent they were and what a quintessential role they played in the funding of Google, the initial stage funding. And it was because the official report and what the media had been sold was not actually true, and it got exposed by a University of Texas professor that wrote about in a paper, she published the paper for the University of Texas on their equivalent of a JSTOR, and it exposed the true extent to how they saw the creation of an intelligence database with the ability to monitor all of searches and online behavior and any type of digital footprint that may be possible to monitor, and that would be of strategic interest to DARPA and to the defense, you know. And so once they had this idea and published this paper for the PageRank algorithm, which is an algorithm that was, you know, Google's algorithm at the time when it was created was such almost like a revolutionary concept, because Yahoo was a directory. So when you search for things, it was a directory. Google's was based on the academic citation process. The more people that cited your website, the more prominent it was considered, and that's why it would show up higher in the search engines.
Yeah, essentially the way that PageRank is not based on web pages. It's named after Larry Page, the actual co-founder,
now CEO of Alphabet.
Right, and PageRank,
which Alphabet owns Google.
Yeah, it's a shell company.
And there were some other search engines that had kind of done this. These guys just did it better, Sergey Brin, and Larry Page. And essentially the way that Google works and the way that SEO works now is that you, their customer is you, and their product is search results. And so if I walked up to Harry and I said, Harry, what's a good place to eat? And he said, Foster's Banana Rochester. I would never ask Harry where to eat ever again. But if I went to Greg and I said, where's a good place to eat? And he said, well, Chili's is great. You don't want to go to Applebee's because of this. You don't want to do that. I go, oh, thanks, Greg. I'm going to come back to you. And I'm going to ask you again. And so they created a product that of signals that judged what was a good website. So, for instance, if you like We Are Libertarians and you think We Are Libertarians is a credible source, and you share We Are Libertarians on your social media, if you go and you have a blog and you put a link to We Are Libertarians, or you read an article on We Are Libertarians or a podcast and you link on your blog to our blog, the more inbound links that come in to our website, it tells Google, hey, these guys have social proof. And social proof is the same concept as, well, everybody must like Harry. I don't know Harry, but everybody around Harry talks well about Harry, so he must be a good guy.
It's basically like whoever has the most letters of recommendation.
Exactly. Yes. So what they're trying to do is create an algorithm, create a system that of recommendation that mimics human recommendation and then provide you results. And what has happened is, well, what had happened was, Google did it so well and has grown into such a big company that they own the search space. And basically, you get to see 2% of the web, and that's because that's what Google will show you. Have you ever noticed that you don't see, like, if you type in, you know, there's no autocomplete for anything that might be dirty? There's not, you know, if you were to search for Jenna Jameson, is probably a porn star that everybody knows. If you typed in Jenna Jama, Sun will not auto-populate, because they control, there's a lot of censorship that goes on. So another problem that's popping up with Google and their power is it just leaked within the last week that if you don't have a Google Plus link on your front page, so we have a Google Plus page. Raise your hand in the audience if you knew we had a Google Plus page. I guarantee that our co-hosts probably don't, you know.
I quit using it after Galt had his, you know, his autistic screeching fit.
Which was 2013. And so nobody uses Google Plus, but the reason that We Are Libertarians has Google Plus promoted on our front page and as a share option, and we have Google authorship and have our Google Plus accounts connected to our author accounts on the WordPress site, is that Google will rank us higher because we are promoting their product. And therein lies a very serious ethical issue that many people are debating. Why should Google treat itself like a utility and not get into the social space and promote itself and promote these tricks that will promote their products and make somebody like me promote their product that we don't use when I don't want to promote our Google Plus page? I don't care about Google Plus. I don't want to promote a social network we don't use. We publish there because it's an auto publish, but it's dead. We don't have conversation like we do in our Facebook group.
No, there's no interaction. It's a ghost town.
Google, Galt is losing his mind on the video right now.
It's the second largest social network, I'll have you know.
Well,
you're forced to have one by the
precisely, and they count anyone with a Gmail account that as part of that network.
Yeah, it's kind of like Wii Sports being the number one game because you got Wii Sports because you got a Wii.
Galt is in all caps right now. Google is a private company. It should be allowed to promote itself. Then use Bing. You're not wrong.
No, I agree. Oh, he's right.
Don't use Bing, though.
The question is, though, with network effect companies like Google, right?
Apple.
Anything that's a platform where the more people that are on that platform, the more useful it is, that is a scenario where the cost of change and the cost of using an alternative ends up being so prohibitive because it's so much less useful.
Right.
Apple is a vinyl wrap company. They just put a spin on something. Maybe put it like a vinyl wrap on something and kick it out. But the good...
fuck you, Harry. Shut up.
Good search company you could probably use is DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo is the alternative, but it's still not as technologically sophisticated. Their algorithms aren't nearly as much so as Google.
No.
Which means it's not as good. And so the point is, do I care more about being censored on trying to find my Daily Stormer article from a year ago? Or do I care more about, you know, being able to find the best search results for that are relevant to what I'm looking for?
Well, the thing is, that's not how most people like find things anymore.
No. Social search is the primary
correct
way.
Yeah, most people use those social things or someone get recommended by something else. Back in the the early 90s and the aughts, you needed a search engine because it was like, well, what the heck is out there?
Well, the web wasn't linked yet and indexed.
Yeah.
You know. That's what this really did. Well, Google, with their spiders, they were able to index the web, and then they just created the best, most efficient way based on academic citation to deliver relevant results.
Google stole it from Yahoo, though.
Yahoo had the opportunity to buy Google for $1 million and passed.
Well, cool. Yeah.
And they had the opportunity to buy Facebook for $1 billion in the past.
Yahoo doesn't like making money, okay?
Yeah, they're a media company. Katie Couric works there.
Right, oh, cool.
Yahoo doesn't like money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, if you can get us into the Yahoo directory, we would appreciate it because that would be great for our Google search results. So the lesson really here is, please link to We Are Libertarians. We're desperate for your SEO. But it is. It's a really... and that's why people, I only use the dark web because I get on Tor and I'm opting out of the Google universe. It's like, guess what? If you're on the internet, you are linked to Facebook, Apple, or Google in some way. It's impossible not to be linked into those in some way because, you know, and there are people like Leo Laporte who argue, you know, Google should not be a content creation property, and they should not own YouTube. They should sell it if they want to be ethically correct. But from a business perspective, I mean, and if you really think about it, we talked about it on the Tuesday show about all the problems that are caused by YouTube and the corporate issues that they have with YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're Alphabet and Google, like spin that off, sell that off. Like don't become a content creation company.
Mm-hmm. Well, because a lot of the things that Google is doing with YouTube is the reason why YouTube doesn't make any money. Even though they're bringing in all this cash, they're just not making any.
Right.
And they're, people have done the adpocalypse or the ad stuff that's going on at YouTube. Yes, a lot of content creators aren't making money, but also Google's not making money because if you're not running ads, they're not making money.
Google only makes money from search. They're an advertising firm, a discovery firm.
Right. Yeah,
and then they're an extortion firm. If you want to, since you haven't been around long enough for whatever reason, you are on page 8 and you want to not be on page 8 any longer, here's how.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pay us for page what?
Right. And yeah, it's no different. I mean, they're basically offering you prioritization and they're monetizing it like a lot of web properties.
And then Google Play Music is phenomenal. Like their subscription based service kills everything else.
Don't use it. I have Apple.
Yeah, but if
Apple Music sucks, I will give you that. Apple Music sucks. So if Google Play is awesome,
it's got a huge library though. But Google Play Music allows you to access it for subscription service.
I'm a Spotify man.
I have never used Spotify.
It's fine. It's no RDO.
I have never used Spotify. Sorry.
So essentially, what you're saying is that this is all just a CIA plot to control the internet. Anyways,
no, it's not. It's that they what they've done is they. We always talk about how stupid government is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we've seen is that through collaboration with the private sector and some of the best minds in academia, they've been able to anticipate where the information revolution was going to lead and the power that you would hold by being in there first.
Yep. Right.
You know, with Larry Ellison and Oracle, it was that, well, it probably makes sense if we fund and make sure he succeeds and he becomes the dominant database provider. That way we are the archivists of all information.
Databases are the backbone of the internet.
Exactly. Now, right. So then, well, you know what? Why don't we move further up the stack? Rather than just having all of it in a repository, why don't we go ahead and fund how people are finding it?
Right.
Google. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Facebook. Oh, well, people are just going to go ahead and put their whole personal lives out there? Makes a digital identification system for facial features pretty easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And now in an independent test, Facebook's facial identification system beat the FBI's.
Yeah.
And so they're already seed investors in all of these, in Snapchat, everything.
Right.
And NQTEL is the arm they do all this through. Well, that was pretty well known because Planeteer Technologies is the largest of all. They're the ones that take all the data and turn it into weaponized smart data. Yeah. They're a data science firm owned by David Karp, who's a prominent libertarian, which is odd.
Planeteer is also heavily invested in by Peter Thiel, right?
Yep. He was the original backer. And Peter Thiel's background, he was sort of the person that forced out Elon Musk through the merger of PayPal and X.com, which was Musk's financial transaction system, and created they've created over $3 trillion in value in market cap for Silicon Valley companies.
Yeah.
People that shot off from PayPal. Mm-hmm.
Peter Thiel's also an early investor in Facebook and
the original
Lyft.
Yeah. Yep. And so he's hugely prominent, but he's a libertarian as well, which is kind of odd that they're in this space since they're, you know, this is basically, you know, controlling human behavior and having access to it. But so what was ultimately discovered was a private forum. Highland Forum, which was where people from like Booz Allen, the defense contractors, were communicating in a private network, social network like Facebook, but directly with people at the Pentagon, the highest levels, and it basically be like our Facebook group, the Most Glorious Empire.
Right.
But if it was Dick Cheney and then Nigel Farage, you know, and they're all in there talking about trends, and it's basically like an online Davos. And so this was exposed. Is that this existed, and not just that, there's a subsidiary that identifies and provides seed capital. Then that's the introduction to NQTEL, who scales it out once it's a proven model. And so this was exposed in a research paper by the University of Texas, because the official record, that wasn't at all how the Larry Page and Sergey Brin had presented their introduction to the Defense Department.
Right.
It had been, oh, well, they just approached us. No, it has been very much knowing, and their mottos don't be evil.
Right.
Which is why it's so hypocritical, is because this entire time they've been in lockstep tandem with the powers that be, knowing full well that investors control access and the future of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as they don't do anything that ruffles any feathers, just like with Oracle, your success is guaranteed and you will become a billionaire and an elite. And so it's amazing that there are these online pockets that coordinate. Why are you laughing?
Payden's here.
Oh boy, is he a paying member?
No, this isn't the Most Glorious. He's in that group.
Oh, okay.
I love Payden.
He's my favorite troll.
I was trying to wrestle Payden today. So,
But so this gets exposed, and it's when you combine. No wonder it poses you think it's an ethical question about having a Google Plus share button on your page,
right?
how about the CIA being the lead investor and the person that provided the Series A venture capital round to become the dominant player in how, I mean, it is the universal search engine outside of the fringe.
Google Fiber.
Yeah.
They're going to control right. the entire stack top to bottom.
Yeah, right. Google Fiber, the Google Fiber. Like the Google Fiber thing, like the way they, okay, the way it works is that it uses the regular cell phone towers. And then it uses different partners to get your Wi-Fi signal to max this massive signal to use for data and just be able to voice signals through the Google as your service provider for your phone, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal. But when the same thing, it goes down to it, if everyone just opened up their Wi-Fi signals, just opened it up and just allowed anyone to get on,
mm-hmm.
You could do the same different thing and you would never have to get a cell phone tower. You'll never have to get in this Google Fiber thing. You could just do it yourself.
And it goes even further because what was exposed in some of the conversations in this Highland forum were that the very hacking of the undersea cable, the underwater cables in the sea that,
yeah.
you know, allow this, the very hack that was discovered had been talked about in the Highland forum between these people. And it's what allowed Australia to have access to it and to monitor Austria's communications for their government.
Oh,
Chris Lane says he hopes that the CIA hacks his camera. They deserve what they get.
Well, that's what I should say. I mean, if you really want to prevent this, you just dick pic all day.
Oh, I have drop cam here. And let me tell you, you can hack my drop cam here if you want, but you're going to regret it.
My laptop doesn't have a webcam.
The best yeah. defense against surveillance is to just put James Weeks up on as many cameras as you can.
I am nude most of the time I'm in my apartment. So.
Can confirm.
James Neese can attest. Just you and a fig leaf dancing around.
Justin says, Google gave me Google Fiber 7 years for free. Am I a globalist dick sucker now? Yes, Justin. Kill yourself with the rest of the gay frogs.
Well, I mean, and there's no genuine alternative to these things.
Yeah.
But they purposely know. It's like why people in Brazil still speak Portuguese instead of Spanish. The Spanish tried to conquer Brazil with force. The Portuguese just gave them gifts. That's what Google's plan is. Well, that's what the government's plan is. If we give you and make the offer attractive enough, the benefits, because of the compounding benefits of network effect type companies, mm-hmm. and we control the whole stack from mm-hmm. the very access point you get online, including the cables to the entire global network.
Yeah.
It's so convenient, you'd be stupid to choose anything else.
Here's the other thing is, right? If you're using an Android-based operating system, most people use Google's version of Android. It was like, what, Android's open source? No. Android Core is open source. Mm-hmm. Android, that's Android Core.
They bought it.
Yeah. Most people don't use Android Core.
Nope.
They used Google's version of Android.
Well, it's why I'm a Mac person. It's like, well, this computer's... Well, I'm not going to get your computer, Harry, because my phone, my Apple Watch, my iPad, my... Everything is tied to the Apple system. I want to stay in that ecosystem. It's why Apple sells Apple TV and Apple Watches, so they can get you to buy more Macs. And
it's they're so both end-to-end user control, but one is Steve Jobs and one his vision, and one is the government's.
Right.
The difference is when Steve Jobs was invited to Hillary Clinton's fundraiser in Silicon Valley, Al Gore put together, he told Hillary Clinton to get her lumpy ass out of his valley. And so like that's. I'm okay. You know what? I'm okay with that.
Right.
Like that, you know what? He's probably still every bit of his a tyrant, but at least he was mean to crooked Hillary, so I can get on board with that.
Google's, Galt's having a meltdown. Let me tell you why Google is not the best company. Have you ever tried to set up a brand page or organize a YouTube channel or try and convert a page or a Google Plus? It is the or try to cancel the subscription or do anything in the back end of a Google account.
It's designed by engineers.
It is the most... awful. It like you think iTunes is bad. It's like try to create a brand account and a YouTube channel and make them connect to each other, but not your personal account. It's insane.
Correct. Yeah.
Like it is. It's created by engineers, and that's why there's companies like Apple where design leads as
user
opposed
experience
to,
is everything.
Right.
Yeah. The rest takes care of itself.
Google's a terrible company to do anything with because at any time Google just stops doing things.
Well, yeah.
There's several cool things that Google has started working on, and like, yeah, we're not going to do
Google Wave
anymore.
Was great.
You know, well, no, we're going to do that no more.
Google
we're done.
Reader.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're done.
Oh,
with
that was my favorite.
Yeah.
Feedly replaced it, but Google Reader was superior.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'd be, you know, and it's not even like if things don't make money or people are on it, you can be on it. But they'll still cancel it. It's a shock that Google Plus.
How
is
dare
still,
they?
Google Plus.
How dare
is
they
still
take
there.
Away my free service?
The
those
other thing
evil
is,
bastards.
Right. The other shocking thing is like I'm still waiting for YouTube just to go pop, just go, just because Google's just done with it. Oh, we're done with that.
Right?
It's stupid.
Galt's like, well, you still use Google. It's like, yeah, you have to use YouTube.
Well, I mean,
what am I going to use, Vimeo?
Yeah. Right. Right. I'm going to get on Daily Motion.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Live Leak.
Daily Motion. Yeah, like, and that's the thing. Like, when it comes to the big four, in my opinion, you've got Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google, and they control everything. And the problem, the ethical dilemma here is that when you have these companies who have this much data, think about the data that Amazon has on you. Not only do they have all of my credit cards and bank accounts and PayPal accounts, all of my addresses, they have my work information, they have all of my buying habits that they, if they wanted to, they could sell. But
they have all your browsing habits. That's how they serve you retargeted ads.
Right.
The other thing with Amazon is, let's be realistic. Everyone uses Amazon servers. Apple's on Amazon servers. Yep.
They control the whole stack.
Everyone's on Amazon
servers. This podcast is fed through Amazon servers.
Web services, which are invested in by InQtel.
Yeah. It's very rare that you buy a VPS or something like that that's not an Amazon server. You have to get to it. And
economies of scale make it so cheap, you're crazy to use a competitor.
Yep. And I have my VPS, I thought was an Amazon server up until I watched a bunch of them go down in the same area, and my server was still up. I'm like, oh, Snokes, I love this thing now. Here's more money.
Google's getting into that now. They're starting to offer a cloud computing service.
They're probably just reselling Amazon servers.
That's what Rackspace does.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, that's the thing is, like, so I think it does pose an interesting question, because the mindset would be that competition would cure these things, right? So a competitor would arise, and that competitor would offer an alternative service, but it's different with network effect companies, because you wouldn't go buy, like, let's say it was a phone service company. A competitor could never hit the economies of scale where they would ever get financial investment through a customer base that would allow them to be a true competitor with an equal offering. So you either have to accept a lesser service, dramatically reduced, or you have to go ahead and just accept you're being monitored.
Yep.
And that is where a lot of the libertarian argument sort of breaks down, or it doesn't break down, it poses an either or, a rock and a hard place.
Right.
And that isn't comfortable for many people, because then you devolve into, well, should we have some sort of oversight or, you know, corporate responsibility or ethical concerns, these type of things. Those are all just conversation pieces. The reality is the government wants to fund it and see it succeed. They'll put as much money as necessary into it.
Yeah.
Run it through Booz Allen contractors. That'll look like private financing, and it will become the default.
Yeah, that's just one of the cool things, like in libertarian circles, which gets frustrated with me, because you can sit there and watch in this environment, watch everyone getting defaulted down to the three or two different change, and then you can still see those same damn libertarians complaining about this in a blockchain circle, talking like, just needs to be Bitcoin Cash, and these other alt currencies.
You know, just invest in Bitcoin.
I know, you're trying to tell me, like, no, you need to have multiple currencies. This is great that there's so many altcoins. This is amazing. This is awesome. So you can't hammer one down.
Galt coin. That's what we're going to make. Galt coin. A little quick.
It'll be fluoride free is what it'll say on the digital printing.
We got to have Galt on. We got to have
him. We do. I miss Galt.
So let's talk are we finished with this topic? I want to talk Hurricane a little bit.
People won't be outraged. People won't care, because it's the assumption. Yeah. But what it does is it basically, imagine what this forum was Bohemian Grove, the Bilderberg Society, the Trilateral Commission, Davos, the globalists, the elite globalists, all shitposting together in a Facebook closed group.
Right.
Yeah, but and charting the future and talking about trends and coordinating who is doing what and where the government should be involved and through what mediums to take control and make sure that they were the gatekeepers on the information revolution.
The irony about Galt coin is that you can only use it at Kmart to buy fluoride toothpaste.
But the thing with it is, like, everyone see those different groups. They've seen it before, like media, watching media do the same dang thing and push out same stories.
Like Donna Brazile giving the questions to CNN. Yeah.
And no one cares. Back in Gamergate, watching people, we're going to attack gamers at this one time. Watch this Gamers Are Dead article everywhere. Same thing. It's the same freaking thing. No one cared.
It doesn't move the needle, but you know what does? Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk about our favorite government stimulus programs.
Some windows.
Paul Krugman has an erection. When he found out that there were back-to-back hurricanes, All of the jobs had him harder than he's been in years.
The only person that has harder nipples is Wolf Blitzer. I've never seen a man get THO through a suit jacket before.
There's another.
But when you watch Wolf Blitzer on CNN in the middle of the day, he's like, my hard little pink nipples are getting very erect at the sight of this hurricane as it is the size of Texas about to plow. Oh! Like, he's just so hard over destruction, death. He's just the worst.
He's about to put a belt around his neck.
Oh, he's just so ready to come at the sight of anyone ready to die. I mean, he's just the worst little piglet.
Of everything, though, that I despise about him, his stamina is unrivaled. That man is going to do hurricane coverage for back-to-back hurricanes for multiple weeks in an emotionally charged environment, and he will not sleep once.
And he has just, like, they must have given free rein to the CNN anchors, because, like, Wolf Blitzer and Chris Cuomo is the worst in the morning. Like, where they have these little editorial comments where even just, like, the slightest things that drive me crazy. You know, Chris Cuomo will always end with some little well, you know, that's just not what the truth says. All right, up next, thanks for joining us, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it's, and then Wolf Blitzer is always like, and of course, we're praying for all of the first responders in your town, Mayor. Like, no, you're not. You're not literally.
You're a Zionist, Wolf. We know this. Alex Jones proved it.
You're getting off the air and you're going over to the Weather Channel and you're beating off with your little tiny penis.
You know what I don't get,
though? To the side of Hurricane Irma.
Him and Ann Coulter are besties that go to Grateful Tour of the Summer. They go on Grateful Dead, like, concert weekends together.
Hilarious.
Ann Coulter for being Iron Ann and, like, you know, someone that names the Jew more than anyone I've ever seen. And the fact that they go and spend weekends
names
together.
Names the Jew. What are you, Borat?
No, she put out a poster of CNN's organizational hierarchy top down and then put the Israeli flag over each person that was Jewish, and it was like 94%. And that's why they started calling her Iron Ann Names the Jew.
Oh, God.
It was really funny because it was innovative.
Innovative.
But then she can say, yeah, but I know Wolf Blitzer. We just saw the Grateful Dead this weekend.
They've really weaponized their anti-Semitism. It's so great.
I mean, it's just, you don't see it very often.
What a great innovator.
They do it in a funny way. It's Hitler, but it's with a smile.
I don't. Galt is like, Chris can't even unlock an Android phone. Why would I ever unlock a lesser phone than an iPhone 7S?
Ultimately, all decisions about what technologies to use come down to whether you can direct post a meme or you need to link to it.
How many memes, Galt, can you direct post on your social network? Or do I need to go to Imgur?
You can answer that after you've copied and pasted.
Right. Copy and paste your meme.
To the link. Disgusting. You're like Amish or Mennonite.
You're like Walls Wolf Blitzer, exactly. You little bastard.
The newest iPhone really does look like a very old Galaxy S8 now. The new one they're coming out with.
Well, I imagine it won't catch on fire and burn a plane down.
Well, I'm sorry. Are they just trying to innovate batteries?
Yeah, by blowing people up. What is the Toyota?
They got a bad batch. It happens.
It was a zero-day exploit in the phone that they could kill people like Michael Hayden.
Bad stuff happens. It happens when you try to innovate and not try to take, you know, like, four-year-old technology and try to put a spin on it and go, like, look, you can now pay for your phone. And Android users have been like, bitch, I've been doing that for years.
Harry, we get it. You're a crypto hipster.
Right. Jeez.
You have an Underwood laptop. I get it.
I wish everybody who loved Android and all you little Google fanboys would move to Miami.
Have you ever seen the movie The Village by M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah.
That's what I wish they would go do. Go right. Move to a state park, seclude yourself. Honestly. We'll surround you with large rat people, and you can stay there.
Well, those people that like that, you can move to New Hampshire and try to be a part of the Free State Project.
Yeah, come LARP and wear masks.
Right. Gee, I can
be a great pumpkin festival.
Condescending and as awful as Roger Paxton is.
Hey, or more so. You get a megaphone there.
Right, a megaphone to all 1,500 LARPers.
Mm-hmm. Look at all 20,000. My likes.
20,000. I'll go hang out with Lauren Rumpler again. I love Lauren.
Well, telephone sales.
All right. So Hurricane Irma is...
Hold on. Yeah. This just freaking hit. I just came across my radar.
Breaking news.
Equifax just got hit.
Yeah, this came out this afternoon.
Just got hit with a hack. credit history is up to 143 million Americans just got hit.
Yeah, one of the third largest credit reporting agencies.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going on everywhere. All my like emails from the Hacker News are people just going nuts.
How did
this.
You just now get this? I got this on, I got this alert on my
Because his technology he uses is basically How like AOL dial up CDs.
At 2:30 today I got that notification on my
Me
iWatch.
Too. Even Yahoo Finance reported it by 5.
He has a BlackBerry.
You sit on good information until you get all of it. You don't just push it right out. You know, Bernstein got lucky. Okay. Lucky.
So
you should have sat on that information for at least 6 months.
This hurricane, Hurricane Wilma.
Irma.
It's
Harvey and Irma.
Wilma was a few years ago. That was the last big one to hit Florida. Andrew obviously is the one that is 25th anniversary of Andrew.
I don't even like remember that because it was so early on.
I was in second grade, so I would have been 6, 7, 8. But I remember seeing some of the images, and if I took a screenshot of CNN earlier where they showed the size of Andrew and Irma. It's 3 times the size of Andrew. And the thing about Andrew was that it was so compact and so high pressure, and it just cut across Florida. It
was more like a tornado.
It was more like a tornado. It literally leveled Homestead, Florida. I think it was Homestead. And it just was like, it just completely leveled it. And so Hurricane Irma, at this point, by the time you hear this, it will just about make landfall, or it will have made landfall, so we don't want to dive into it too much because
I'm going to watch Wolf all night.
Oh, but I like it is a very serious situation, and so all of our friends who are in not only Florida but also Georgia and the Carolinas,
the Eastern Seaboard,
we're all thinking about you. And again, if you need a place to stay, Jeremiah Morrill on Julie Avenue in Newcastle, Indiana, is ready to...
He's partnering with Joel Osteen.
He's bringing you in. He's going to give you a place to stay. And you can make the party. Like, if you need to evacuate, this is a very serious offer. My birthday party, September 9th, Saturday night. Come to the party, get in touch with Jeremiah or
I. Buy some of the price gouged posters.
We would love to... This is a low blow by Christy Avery. My Android savings helps keep Chris an Apple. No, my boss does. So, if you want to come up and evacuate to Indiana, then we would love to have you at my birthday party or our live show on Monday night. Mm-hmm. So the wall crew for our subscribers, we will definitely make a place. You can sleep on the pullout couch, or as I like to call it, the memorial bed of Christy Avery. The Christy Avery Memorial Pullout Couch. Rest in peace. And so you guys,
are
please...
Are we doing costumes for 9/11?
I'm going as Jet Fuel. I'm going as Steel Beams. I'm going
to go as Building 7 and then do the opening comedy act and just bomb myself. Just so
I'm gonna go as Building 7 and collapse for no reason.
Yeah. Bowers just go, just pull it.
I'm gonna go as Bush and go, miss me yet.
one thing is clear, we're going to destroy that stage Monday night.
Absolutely.
So please, we'd love to have you, and we want everybody to be safe.
There'll be 72 versions there.
There will be. All right. Here's the thing about the hurricane rescue. I got tagged in a meme, Greg. We talked about this a little bit on the Tuesday show with Harry and I. I got tagged in a meme saying, how do all those libertarians feel about government now? I'm like, fine, because the Cajun Navy's doing the Lord's work. The Cajun Navy in Houston are just all these guys who have boats and just started networking on social media and ended up going and picking people up and rescuing them in the floods. Like, the Red Cross is a private organization that is down there doing, if not more, doing way more work in interacting with human beings than the federal government is.
Yeah, their hands aren't as strung by regulation and bureaucracy.
Absolutely. Like, all this money that gets passed for all these...
We're not anti-assistance. We're anti-government as the functionary and the overseer of it.
Right. Literally no person had to tell any of these people to go help somebody. Mm-hmm. They just, as human beings, said, people are in trouble. I can help. Let me go help.
Thank God someone saved that person for drowning. If the government hadn't told me to go out there and save that drowning person, I'd probably just let him drown.
If the government,
I'm a libertarian. Do it yourself.
Right. It's like, gee, this hurricane's coming. I'm just going to sit here and wait and let the government tell me if I should evacuate or not.
Somebody should have taken swim lessons.
Well, you don't want to violate their nap, you know, swimming out to them and grabbing them, you know, without consent.
How do we know? Yeah. You're exposing yourself to liability you don't need in your life.
Yeah, because as libertarians, they could just be drowning themselves.
Next thing you know, there's memes about you, how your church is closed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's awful.
You're being shamed for not having God in your favor.
Yeah, so I all of this falls apart where you look at this big stimulus package that is just being passed, which you got to hand it to Donald Trump. Not only did he weather the storm of Don Jr. making it through the Russia probe today without anybody noticing, he also managed to eliminate the entire debt ceiling.
As a hostage situation for aid relief.
For aid relief. Something that
stood up to a party.
His party.
Yep. And they did, yeah. And that he's been relying upon, you know, they've hamstrung him, and he did a nice little photo shoot with Chuck U. Schumer and gave the middle finger to Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Said, you're not going to use that as a negotiating tactic. We're not going to do that in this time. In a time, you know, we're not like the Democrats, theoretically, where Rahm Emanuel said, never waste a good crisis.
Right.
You know, we're going to go ahead and do it and rise above. And it pissed off a ton of conservatives.
So, Christy Avery says, come on, windbags, I need my beauty sleep. You can hang up at any time.
I'm not a bag, I'm a sack.
Right.
Ever assume my carrying container?
I think I'm playing footsie with Harry. That's a big foot you got, Harry.
Thank you. Size 13s.
So, essentially, the debt ceiling, how do you... I'm all in favor. We did an episode 4 years ago during the debt ceiling crisis. I think it was Creighton Galt and I. And you can go back and listen to some of the fundamental debates on that episode. It's in the early shows. And honestly, the government's going to spend the money, and the debt ceiling is just a fake crisis at this point. Like, get rid of it.
Right. We all know what the end result is going to be. So it's just a game of chicken.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the Treasury still has the ability to mint coins. So in the event that this got to, like, minutes before, the Treasury still has the ability to order for instance, a platinum coin be printed.
Right.
Deposit that with the Federal Reserve and draw upon a theoretically trillion dollar coin to use as credit and collateral to continue financing operations and to refi the debt, to service the debt that they've already. That's all. Most people think the debt ceiling allows you to continue to spend.
Yeah.
What it really does is allows you to continue to service the interest on what you've already spent.
Right.
And so it's a very different thing. You're basically, you know, it's self-imposed foreclosure or bankruptcy. Rather, when you already have a large revenue stream that you can meet the bar, you know, servicing the debt.
So the debt ceiling was up, and it's September 30th. They needed to raise it. They had a continuing resolution that needed to get passed so they could continue funding the government past September 30th. FEMA was only funded through Saturday, so they had to fund it. And Donald Trump went in and struck a deal with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin, and had a long conversation with them to get all of this stuff passed, lumped into one thing, and talk about the Dreamers at the same time. So
You're impressed.
I'm not impressed. It's just it's a rare moment of functionality for a dysfunctional presidency.
Yeah, so. A lot of that has to do with the changing composition of the staff. General Kelly's bringing in, you know, he's bringing in the swamp.
Yes.
People that know how to operate, though. They have the institutional knowledge, and it's not a bunch of Breitbart editors, you know, pretending that they know how to govern. Right. And that's the real difference, is that it's one thing to know the lay of the land and how things work and to be aware of landmines. It's another to, you know, think you're just going to go into D.C. and start an era of civic nationalism with memes and the alt-right army. You know, it's just a radically different mindset and skill set. And so you're going to see the Trump president. He's realizing that if he can't get anything done whatsoever and will have no legacy to a guy that's incredibly narcissistic,
yeah,
would be the worst outcome.
Yeah.
So what he's going to do is what you can always count on Trump to do is act in his best interest every single time, no matter how odd it is or unorthodox it is. If it is to his benefit for his personal brand, which he will license now as one of the premier presidential brands in history. The only premium presidential luxury brand in history to be licensed on steaks.
Right.
It will be that. It boosts that value.
Yeah. That's why the Dreamers thing will get done. The DACA thing is really a non-issue. It is something that will get done. He's basically telling people it's going to get done. He made the only
he
move.
He went out on Twitter and said, you have nothing to worry about.
He made the only move that he could. He couldn't just pass an executive order for another 2 years. His base would have killed him. It's what he ran against. Mm-hmm. And so now he's forcing Congress to do something, and it sounds
which
like
it should.
Will. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of trying to do stupid impeachment trials.
It should, right. It should actually do the business of the country.
But did you notice how there's been no talk about the ineffectiveness of FEMA?
Yeah.
You know why? Because it has been exceptionally well coordinated with, and because they've learned the lessons and gotten better.
Brownie.
And so instead, yeah, hell of a job, Brownie. So they've gotten a lot better. You know, the guy's his only resume thing was raising Saudi Arabian horses, or raising, you know, Michael Brown during Katrina, and that's why he was, you know, a political appointee. But you know, going forward, I do think you're going to see a profound shift because of the people surrounding him and the desire to not go down as Jimmy Carter of the right.
Yep. Somebody in the chat, I missed their name, it was a lady, mentioned Rand Paul's proposal, and I had not heard it until just then.
Amnesty.
And not amnesty. No, this is
no,
about...
No, he did. He came out for that, too.
This is for pay for the emergency funds with cuts from elsewhere. This is an opinion piece in The Hill. And essentially, he says, I absolutely want to make sure their needs are met and we take care of people, but with $20 trillion in debt and climbing, with no sign of letting up. So he proposes a simple America First fiscally responsible solution. We should pay for the emergency funds with cuts from elsewhere, specifically money we send overseas to foreign countries. And one of the things that I and many other Americans like about the candidate Donald Trump was his America First policy. We talked often about building here instead of in Pakistan and Afghanistan. We send tens of billions of dollars overseas every year in aid. We've spent trillions fighting and nation building in Afghanistan and Iraq. Instead of continuing that, let's take a portion of that money and spend it on here here to help the victims of this great disaster. So and then
somebody I realized nationalism can be useful from a libertarian perspective sometimes.
Right. So that is a brilliant idea from Senator Rand Paul. So fully endorse that myself.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see if Trump can switch his ethno-nationalism, which led to a lot of his rise, into civic nationalism around the difference being, you know, America as America and nationalism as an idea of a nation of ideas rather than cultures and ethnicities, where it's America first because of life, liberty, and happiness and the rule of law.
Right.
You're going to see mass popularity and a guy that's poised for re-election.
Yep. So let's end on this. It was Elizabeth in the chat. Thank you, Elizabeth. Now, Harry, you know I love you, but I don't like when you go through my things in the bathroom. I don't like when you go through my drawers.
Or have a key to his place 3D curious. Printed after you took a picture.
And I'm
curious.
I'm pretty annoyed when you shame me with the things that you find in my
Well, I just came across some stuff. You know, I was in your, you know, I was in the bathroom, using the bathroom. I noticed we have the exact same toothbrush. We have the exact same toothpaste. So I was looking at everything. And then I noticed this, which,
as well have the same skin color.
But it's a black face, you know, black remover.
It's black.
Removes black.
It's black removal.
It says anti-black peeler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Are you black and you peel?
Yep. I have vitiligo.
You Michael Jackson does?
Oh, vitiligo. Oh, it's the children.
You shed like a snake?
No, this is an anti-blackhead peel-off mask.
What's blackhead?
You don't know.
It sounds like code.
You don't know what blackhead is?
Code to me.
What Harry gets.
They're the worst kind of pimples. Ruins pimples' names for everybody. All the white, it ruins the white pimples' reputations.
I have not used the blackhead mask.
Okay.
But when I do, there will be photos.
I've done it.
Have you done the blackhead mask?
No, but for Halloween, I put the pictures in chat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, let's end this special extended bonus edition. You guys are getting... if you listen to both episodes this week, you got a hell of a lot of news and information from us. I'm very tired.
A lot of white supremacy from a couple of black guys.
Right. Harry, we really need to talk to you in the office after the show. But
I mean, I thought Harry was a white supremacist, and then I met Abdul.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
comparatively. When your dad, has to tell you to blacken up, could you be, you know,
could you, you know, maybe
dial down the mayo?
A bro. Yeah. Just say bro. Or
say axe. Just once.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us on this bonus episode. We appreciate you guys so much for all the contributions that you make to We Are Libertarians. And we were talking between the main episode and this show, the bonus episode here, just how we are amazed at how much you guys like us.
it couldn't be more humbling and, you know, an honor.
Yeah, and so that's been the coolest part over the last couple weeks is the opening of channels to get to talk to more of you folks. People like James Zoldaz. I don't think I said that right, but, you know, I didn't know James was a listener. I didn't know he was out there. So it was great to get to talk to him, and thank you guys for sharing the podcast and helping us grow and helping us spread the word, and thank you for just connecting with us, because it's so nice to get to talk to all of you, even Stone and Christy.
Maybe the Wall Network will have the same network effects as Google, and we'll become the dominant political thought controllers of all American society.
Honestly, like Kat was dreaming today in chat about us getting so famous that we have to retreat to an island.
It worries me how much she thinks long term she's in the picture.
No. Strange.
Concerning.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us here on We Are Libertarians, and we appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week.